Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve
Noble. Okay, let's
go.
All right, it's according to my friend Bill on Facebook Live. It's Unity Monday. Can you feeling it? Are you feeling the unity after last night's Super Bowl thing? The Super Bowl, the game. Tom Brady. Yeah, we're just, you know, play 2 years in Tampa, go to some other place there where they get a mediocre team and win a Super Bowl. I mean, what's up with this guy? Unbelievable. So that was the game was kind of boring. I want to talk about some of the commercials, but particularly the Bruce Springsteen Jeep commercial, because there's some interesting things going on here on Unity, the United States, the reunited States of America, as they said, at the end of that ad. And it sounds wonderful, and there's many things about it, but you always got to consider the source. So I'll clue you into a little bit of Bruce Springsteen's 5-year history of looking for unity in this country. Now, of course, once the tide turns and the liberal left have their guy in the White House and appear to have pretty decent control of the House and the Senate, now the whole game changes. Orange man bad, old man good, orange man gone, old man in. And so everything's fine. Kumbaya. And now we're going to be all about unity. So we're going to talk about that. If you were wondering, and apparently based on social media, many of you were wondering what was up with The Weeknd. Of course, that's now a name of an artist from Canada. He did the Super Bowl halftime extravaganza, musical extravaganza, and people. He had at one point all these dancers on the field, and they were all wearing kind of red and black and stuff, but they all had bandages on, right? And so, of course, it's satanic and this, that, and the other thing, and everybody's been going nutso on social media ever since. But then I found this, and this is from The Weeknd himself, who does have a name, Canadian. Abel Tesfaye is his real name. So he said the significance of the entire head bandages, I actually think this is kind of funny, is reflecting on the absurd culture of Hollywood celebrity and people manipulating themselves for superficial reasons to please and be validated. It's all a progression, and we watch the character storyline hit heightened levels of danger and absurdity as this tale goes on. So literally making fun of the whole Hollywood maneuver to go pay a plastic surgeon to turn you into a caricature of yourself, which I know sounds harsh and ugly and perhaps some parts of recesses of my heart. That is what I'm thinking. But the other part of me, I mean, don't you see that when old stars – And they're getting, appears to be younger. Bruce Springsteen's done this too. They get plastic surgery. They're trying to hold on to their glory days. Another Springsteen reference. And to me, it just looks kind of pathetic and obvious. And you know, your eyes can only be so tight. Your skin can only be so tight for so long. And then they become caricatures of themselves, being addicted to public opinion and how they look and yada, 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 which we all struggle with that at some level. But now that I know he was kind of mocking that whole thing, the halftime show just got a little better for me in my cynicism. All right, so there's the Bruce Springsteen thing. This is the Jeep commercial. I'm going to play this for you because I want you to hear it. Try to set aside all your cynicism and everything else and just try to take it in as somebody that desires to see some peace, like kind of a post-9/11 environment in the United States of America. Are we ready, Seth, to go roll this thing? Let's roll this. You'll hear the sound, and that's enough on the radio, but you'll see it. You'll see the video on Facebook Live. Let's roll it. Very American.
There's a chapel in Kansas, standing on the exact center of the lower 48. It never closes. All are more than welcome to come meet here in the middle. It's no secret. The middle has been a hard place to get to lately. Between red and blue, between servant and citizen, between our freedom and our fear. Now, fear has never been the best of who we are. And as for freedom, it's not the property of just the fortunate few. It belongs to us all. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, it's what connects us. And we need that connection. We need the middle. We just have to remember the very soil we stand on is common ground. So we can get there. We can make it to the mountaintop, through the desert, and we will cross this divide. Our light has always found its way through the darkness, and there's hope on the road up ahead.
Okay, so Bruce Springsteen, the boss, right? And this beautiful American scenery, and I didn't know that there's this tiny little chapel in the middle of the lower contiguous 48 states. And to see Bruce Springsteen, you can cut it, to see Bruce Springsteen in the chapel, which is interesting. I've read some things about his faith in the past. I would say he's comfortable in his agnosticism. But he's in there. He lights a candle. At one point, you see in this little chapel, which I'm sure triggered a lot of people on the left, there was a picture of the American, you know, a picture of America kind of artistically done behind the lectern, the pulpit or whatever. Tiny little, it's like a mini building, right? And then right smack dab in the middle of the United States map thing, this artistic thing, is a cross. And then a little bit later in this 1 minute ad, you see three crosses out in a field. Of course, that's Jesus surrounded by the two thieves. And so this beautiful thing about coming back to the center and what we have in common is this ground on which we walk, and kind of a post 9/11 appeal to America as brethren underneath the flag, right? Which, of course, none of that stuff flies anymore, especially on the left. And especially coming from somebody like Bruce Springsteen. Now, he's an interesting choice. Bruce Springsteen calls Donald Trump a moron. The Republic is under siege by a moron, he says, an excerpt from an upcoming Rolling Stone feature. This is a couple years ago. It's a tragedy for our democracy. Huh. So what's the deal with that? He has a podcast, of course, everybody does. From My Home to Yours, Volume 14, Farewell to the Thief. Capturing the national psyche, his election episode was also a horror episode. It is time for an exorcism in our nation's capital. This was last spring, right before Thanksgiving. Springsteen said beginning the program, "Welcome to our Halloween Election Day monster mash," he added. "In just a few days, we'll be throwing the bums out. I thought it was a blanking nightmare, but it was so true." That's the guy that you were just listening to, appealing to his fellow Americans to come together and meet in the middle. What's changed? Well, let me read this to you when we come back from the break. A letter of apology from Bruce Springsteen for letting Trump win. I've been a fan of the boss for a long time musically. I've never been a fan of his politically, and it just got a whole lot worse with this letter he wrote. It's unbelievable the level of arrogance this guy has and what he thinks we think of him. Maybe he should have been on the field last night with a bandage. We'll be right back. Get up. If you're having a bad day or a bad weekend or just can't get the weekend out of your head, that being the halftime act, maybe a little Bee Gees will help you out. This is Steve Noble. Welcome back to the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Steve Noble Show, working on a brand new episode of Who Is This SOB? Talk to you but later about the title of that. To set that aside for now. But going to be recording that this week, so that should be out by next Monday. But that is a set aside from the radio show, and the things I do for love. It was excruciating because I sat down and listened to this. Hillary Clinton has a podcast, right? Everybody's got a podcast. If you don't have a podcast, you're like the only person in America that doesn't have one by this point. But Hillary Clinton has a podcast, and she had her buddy Nancy Pelosi on, and they were talking about the impeachment and what happened on January 6th and that stuff. So I'm subjecting myself to listening to that over and over again, and then I'll offer some commentary. Some rebuttal it'll be about a 30-40 minute podcast, but that'll be coming out sometime next week. Also, wherever you get your podcast, if you want to join us right here in the studio, you can do that on Facebook Live. You can also do it now on YouTube, you know, until they cancel us eventually, which I hope they do. That would mean I was doing something right, I would believe. But YouTube, that's just under the Steve Noble Show channel, or on Facebook Live, thestevenobleshow.com. Okay, back to Bruce Springsteen. Who did the Jeep thing, which sounded nice. And there was a little church, which is at the epicenter of America, which I didn't know, this tiny little chapel, which is kind of cool. But I'm sure it triggered a lot of people, because at one point he shows the inside of the chapel in this Jeep commercial, and there's an American map. When in the smack dab in the middle of the American map, it's a cross. Oh, man. And then at another point, they showed the three crosses, you know, like Jesus with a thief on either side. And so there he's talking about coming back together and la, 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 la. It was really, really really kind of kumbaya and hey, and at the end, the reunited states of America. Get it? And so he's the one that calling, saying we need an exorcism in the White House. This was just a few months ago. And that Trump's a moron, so on and so forth. And then when Trump got in, listen to this. Now, got to always consider the source, okay? And don't be, I'm sitting there going, I was sentimental when I watched it last night. I'm like, man, wouldn't that be nice? Like kind of a post 9/11 America experience, which lasted for about 2 or 3 months. But that ain't going to happen again. Those days are just over. But so I was sentimental. And then it's going, wait a second, Bruce Springsteen. I wonder what Bruce's political past is like, as you could imagine. And I wonder what he thinks of Donald Trump, as you could imagine. Now, what's changed? Why is Bruce all kumbaya churches and red, white, and blue American flags? Well, that's because orange man bad, old man good. So as soon as you, it all depends on whose ox is getting gored, right? So he wrote this letter a few years back. My name is Bruce Springsteen. And one day soon, when the windows of your mosques are smashed and the synagogues lie in ashes, when the skies are gray with dust and the sea has risen to wash away the roads, when the stars and stripes of our flag stand for discrimination and fear, I will wonder, could I have made a difference? Wow. Little old Bruce, the boss. Could I have made a difference? Then he references Meryl Streep and something she did at one of these award shows, and everybody thought that was awesome, and they shared it on Facebook. And so he asked himself, again, could I have made a difference in this last election? Some people think I'm one of the few people who actually could have. Whoa, Bruce. Doesn't need a participation trophy. He's not lacking in self-esteem. So then he's talking about, it's been suggested that in the weeks and months leading up to the election, he's talking about 2016 when Trump won. I should have followed Trump around from rally to rally, especially in September and October when he was hitting the Rust Belt states hard. After all, those are supposed to be my people too. You know, imagine this, just as he was getting up to speak, I'd pop out of a van right outside the venue, step up to the back of a pickup or something, and play a few songs. If I was playing across the street from a rally at the same time, you're telling me they wouldn't have turned their back on Le Grand Orange? That's what Gary Talent calls them. He's an old Mets fan from way back and rushed out to wherever I was. Wow, Bruce. Imagine if I had done that for 2 or 3 weeks, if I had just bird-dogged man. I could have stolen his audience, stolen all the TV crews. You don't think they would have rushed over to me and wanted to hear my opinion on the big man? Not only would I have won over some of his supporters, but Trump almost definitely at some point would have come after me. And how bad would that have been for him? You think the new boss could have attacked the original and gotten away with it? He doesn't like being upstaged. You know he would have had to come after me. Can you imagine if he attacked Bruce Springsteen? Oh, the nerve. Even without doing the math on just that alone, he might have lost enough votes to lose him the election. This is Bruce, by the way, who was preaching unity to you last night. So I look at myself in the mirror and I ask, could I have made a difference? And now I answer, yes, I think I could have. Then he goes on, waxes on. So maybe, just maybe, I blanked up. So here's what I'm thinking. The 2018 midterm election is going to be here in no time. The only chance for real change is if we vote more Democrats in and flip control of the House of Representatives. And he goes on and on, and he put this letter out there, a letter of apology from Bruce Springsteen for him single-handedly letting Donald Trump win, which has led us to need an exorcism in the White House, which he said just like 4 months ago. And Trump's a moron and so on and so forth. And the only hope for America is to have Democrats run everything. So his dream, at least for now, has come true. So now there's hope for unity and goodness and beautiful. Isn't that awesome? And because orange man bad and gone, old man good and there. So now all of a sudden it's a different tune. But let me tell you what the new definition of unity is, because we're redefining everything these days, right? Male, female, any outie, gender, whatever, truth itself, all redefined. What does it mean to be unified in America? Well, Bruce didn't say this last night, but I'll say it for him and every other leftist out there. And by the way, from a Christian perspective, this is nothing new. The world has wanted us to renounce God and eventually Jesus Christ since the beginning. In the garden with Satan, surely God didn't say. This is nothing new. Now, in this case, you may think he's talking about your Americanism, your patriotism, your conservatism, your republicanism, but beneath that, around that, over that, and through that is all spiritual stuff. And one thing that Donald Trump represented, whether he meant it at the core of his being or not, was the church and him mentioning Jesus and holding up a Bible and all that kind of stuff. And when you're lost, man, that stuff is disgusting. That's why the Bible says to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. So here's what Bruce and all his friends were really getting at. We would love to have unity. Here's what it requires. Are you listening, Christians? You can't think like you want to think. You can't speak like you want to speak. You can't hold on to those tired, old, hateful, homophobic, Islamophobic, phobic things that you've held on to the past by reading and believing a 2,000 to 4,000-year-old book in your narrow-mindedness. So here's the deal. We'll have unity and peace in America. We'll be the reunited states of America if you'll change your mind. If you'll let go of your old allegiances. Let go of the past, Kylo Ren said. Kill it if you have to. You let go of all that stuff, hold on to your America, blah, 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 your red, white, and blue, and you follow us, and we'll have all kinds of unity. Everything will be great. It'll be happy, go lucky. Except in the end, it won't, of course. Because what fellowship does darkness have with light? So I watch as an American, I consume, and then I filter as a Christian. And I think primarily not of myself as a conservative, but myself as a Christian. And I know if I'm going to let my Christianity and the Bible drive my public opinion and drive my political opinion and drive my activities and the things that I do or don't do, then I know that's going to, I'm going to represent a standard, and that standard makes unbelievers uncomfortable and mad. And so you got to kill God. It's the same mission we've been on as a human race for 5,000 plus years. Got to kill God and any semblance of that. That's what unity means. So the question for you is, what do you do with all this? So I've got one more thing we're going to look at when we come back. And tomorrow I'll talk about the impeachment sham, which starts tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And it's going to be amazing how many people don't watch that, because impeachment just doesn't mean much anymore. But when we come back, what can you do about the Trumpites next door, especially when they're nice to you? That's from the LA Times. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. City. I'm not going to kill you, and I'm not going to charge you a tax, which is ridiculous. Here we go. Just off and running, having a good old time, even though the radio show started already. I'm just sitting here in my little cockpit here in the studio. But anyway, I wanted to continue to have this conversation with you. Unity in America, according to Bruce Springsteen, sounded great, looked great, chapel, the whole nine yards. But really what unity is from Bruce Springsteen's perspective, because it was just a few months ago when he said the White House needed an exorcism. Trump's a moron. He wrote an apology letter to the world that he should have done more, that perhaps he, Bruce Springsteen, the boss, could have single-handedly stopped Trump from being elected in the first place. And because he didn't really get engaged, it's pretty much his fault. And then Trump destroying the world and everything's in ashes, including your mosque and blah, 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 blah. So there's always this cry for unity. It's beautiful, 1 minute Super Bowl thing. But remember, unity now from a left standpoint is uniformity, meaning you believe what we believe, set down all your garbage and everything will be fine. Bow the knee to Baal and everything will be fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Then you get this. I'm trying to remember who I heard. Somebody at talk radio earlier today was talking about this. What can you do about the Trumpites next door? This is the world that we live in. This is nothing new, by the way. As Christians, and here's the point of application that I want to get to. What turned the Roman Empire upside down in 300 years? Well, Steve, it was easy. The Christians started to take over political institutions, got very involved, got their people elected, got up all the way into the emperor's inner chambers, and were able to bend him in the right direction and change some laws. And none of that. They had no impact there whatsoever. They had no access to power. They had no power. So what did they do? They lived a radically different life in the face of death, persecution, plagues, all this stuff. They were generous. They were caring. They stayed when other people left. They were there burying others and their own as the plague wiped people out. The Roman soldiers are like, I have no idea what drives these people. But they provided an alternate reality to the brutal reality that was the collapsing Roman Empire over the course of 300 years. And my point now is, maybe that's our role in America. You want to play the right-left game? I understand. I engage to a certain extent. But, hey, come on over to our side where we wave the flag of the red states and the Republican Party and Trump or whatever. It's just a mirror image of the left side. Isn't there another side? Isn't there a different side? Is there another way through life in America? There is. The life of a Christ follower. That's a different way. That's a third option. That's not a party on the right or the left. It's the truth party. It's the love and generosity and compassion. And yes, salt and light party. So to this LA Times op-ed, what can you do about the Trumpites next door? Oh, heck no. it starts. The Trumpites next door to our pandemic getaway, who seem as devoted to the ex-president as you can get without being Q fans, just plowed our driveway without being asked and did a great job. How am I going to resist demands for unity in the face of this act of aggressive niceness? Now you listen up for what I was just talking about with the whole Bruce Springsteen thing with unity and stuff. Okay, listen. Of course, on some level, I realize I owe them thanks. And man, it really looks like the guy backdragged the whole driveway like a pro. But how much thanks? These neighbors are staunch partisans of blue lives, meaning police. And there aren't a lot of anything other than white lives in the neighborhood. I would look him in the face and say, well, why do you live there if you're so bugged by all this? This is also kind of weird. Back in the city, people don't sweep other people's walkways for nothing. Maybe it's like what Eddie Murphy discovered in that old Saturday Night Live sketch, White Like Me. He goes undercover in white makeup and finds that when white people are among their own, they pop free champagne and live the high life. As Murphy put it, quote, slowly I began to realize that when white people are alone, they give things to each other for free. Hezbollah, this writer goes on. Virginia Heffernan at the LA Times. Hezbollah, the Shiite Islamist political party in Lebanon, also gives things away for free. Did she just compare us? I think she did. The favors Hezbollah does for people in the cities Tyre and Sidon probably don't involve snowplows, but like other mafias, Hezbollah tends to its own. The Shiites sick, elderly, and hungry. They offer protection and hospitality and win loyalty that way. And they also demand devotion to their brutal us versus them anti-Sunni cause. Some of us are family, the favors say. The rest are infidels. The same is true with Louis Farrakhan, who currently helms the Nation of Islam. While the Southern Poverty Law Center classifies him as a dangerous anti-Semite, much of his flock says he's just a little screwy and unfailingly magnanimous to them. So now we Trump supporters just got compared to Hezbollah, Shiite Islamists, and Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Okay, and you're all crazy, but you just don't know any better. When someone helps you when you're down or snowed in, it's almost impossible to regard them as a blight on the world. In fact, you're more likely to be overwhelmed with gratitude and convinced of the person's inherent goodness. You might end up like the upper middle class family I stayed with in France as a teenager. They did not attend. That's elitist. Don't do stuff like that, do they? They did not attend a citywide celebration for the 100th birthday of Charles de Gaulle, the war hero who orchestrated the liberation of his country from Nazi Germany in 1944. They did have several portraits of Philippe Pétain, Nazi collaborator, on their wall, however. When I screwed up the courage to ask how it was for them during the occupation, the lady of the house replied, quote, we were happy because the Nazis were very polis, P-O-L-I-S. I didn't know the word, so I excused myself to consult the French-English dictionary. I was in tears when I found the entry, polite. The Nazis were polite. So when I accept generosity from my pandemic neighbors, obviously Trump supporters, acknowledging the legitimate kindness with a wave or a plate of cookies, am I also sealing us in a fellow travelers who are very polis to each other, but not so much to them? Loving your neighbor is evidently much easier when your neighbor is full of people, just when your neighborhood is full of people just like you. What do we do about the Trumpites around us? That's if you voted for Trump, you're a Trumpite, okay? Like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who spoke eloquently this week about her terrifying experience during the insurrection at the Capitol, across the street, just to be accurate. Americans are expected to forgive and forget before we've even stitched up our wounds or gotten our vaccines against the pandemic that former President Trump utterly failed to mitigate. Trump by himself, just like Bruce Springsteen by himself. My neighbors supported a man who showed near murderous contempt for the majority of Americans. They kept him in business with their support. But the plowing. This is an article, again, from LA Times, an op-ed by Virginia Heffernan. What can you do about the Trumpites next door? Because these Trump supporters in her getaway neighborhood plowed her driveway. They were just being nice. So what does she do with that? These Trumpites, basically like Hezbollah, Nation of Islam, psychopaths. What do you do when they plow your driveway? On January 6th, after the insurrection, Senator Ben Sasse issued an aw-shucks plea for all Americans to love their neighbors. The United States, he said, quote, isn't Hatfields and McCoys this blood feud forever? And he added, you can't hate someone who shovels your driveway. At the time, I seethed, she writes. The Capitol had just been desecrated, but maybe my neighbor heard Sasse and was determined to make a bid for reconciliation. So here's my response to my plowed driveway for now. Politely, but not profusely, I'll acknowledge the Sassian move. Because these Trump people next door plowed her driveway. With a wave and a thanks, a minimal start on building back trust, I'm not ready to knock on the door with a covered dish yet. So who needs to move here? It's not this liberal. It's the Trumpites. You need to come around, you people. She goes on, I also can't give my neighbors absolution. It's not mine to give. Did they ask for it, by the way? Free driveway work, as nice as it is just not the same currency as justice and truth. Pretend it is would be a lie, and they probably aren't looking for absolution anyway. Again, who's guilty here? Who needs to come around? It's the Trump people, not this liberal. But I can offer a standing invitation to make amends. I bet you can. Not with a snowplow, but by recognizing the truth about the Trump administration, and more important, by working for justice for all those whom the administration harmed. Yeah, just ask all those African Americans and Asians and Hispanics that were doing better. Only when we work shoulder to shoulder to repair the damage of the last 4 years will we even begin to dig out of this storm. They owe me, essentially, is what she's saying. They all do. All of you Trump people who basically destroyed America and harmed everybody, tried to usher in this Trump aristocracy, all you people, you want me to recognize that you did something nice for me? Then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to change. You know what you really need to do? You need to repent. If you repent, then maybe I'll bring you a covered dish. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? And again, you think this is about Trump? It isn't. If I were a betting man, I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that this particular woman is agnostic at best. She might call herself a Christian, but does she know Christ? I doubt it. If you know Christ, by the way, how can you struggle with forgiveness? That's the essence of what it is to be a Christian. So if you happen to be an African-American and you don't want to forgive anybody for what happened for the few hundred years in the history of this nation, as horrific as it is, but you've got no place for forgiveness in your heart, even when the blood of 750,000 Americans was shed to end the horrific, satanic, evil practice of human slavery, and you still don't want forgiveness, I'll forgive you when you give me money or something. That's not forgiveness. That's not the gospel. So for people that don't know Jesus and don't understand forgiveness, they're going to use it like a sledgehammer. They're going to use it to make you change your mind, or at least state that you will. They're going to use it because they don't want to hear anything about your truth. Just like always, this is spiritual. And the answer to spiritual blindness and hatred is not control of the White House. It's the propagation of the gospel. And for us to live a life that just somewhat looks different than most of our neighbors, what's it going to take for us to learn that lesson like our forefathers did in Israel? We'll be right back. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Please remember that. As we're engaging so many other things these days, don't lose track. Keep your compass on true north, the Lord Jesus Christ. And every week we talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, just a great authority on these complicated financial issues and investments and banking, what's going on with the economy. But when we do our Money Monday updates, the first Monday of the month, which was last week, we do a full show and cover a lot of different ground. There's so many different things we're trying to understand from a financial and investment standpoint. But the Mondays after that, we just do a little Money Monday update. We always start with a passage of scripture, David being an expert, but more importantly, is my brother in Christ. And so we start where we should start, which is the Word of God. David, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing great. Yeah,
awesome.
Thanks for having me. I love this part. It's the best part of the show right now.
Amen.
When I get to be on. I don't mean when I'm on. I mean,
I gotcha.
Got the scripture. Let me clarify
gotcha.
That. It sounds like an ego thing here.
I'm with you. I got you. I'm totally with you. Okay. A great book, the great prophet Isaiah, of course. We'll start there, Isaiah 54:10, and then we'll move on after we get done with God's word.
Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. So, you know, as we see that the world, and our world, it could be just our world, gets shaken spiritually, morally, financially, God is not shaken by this. He's not surprised. And And as we rest in his unfailing love and we're at peace with his purpose for our life and his commitment to us, that he will love us and holds us in the palm of his hand, we can have that peace even though things that might shake around us, no matter what that shaking is. And that's the beauty of resting in the loving arms of Christ.
So true. Whether we're talking about the situation in America today with politics and BLM and the strife and the right and the left and the red states and the blue states and the Super Bowl ads or whatever, we have to. And I was talking about this during the show, David, that we look back at the early church where they had zero political power. And after 300 years with the eventual collapse of the Roman Empire and then the embracing of Christianity, it's because Christians back then for 300 years didn't live on the right, didn't live on the left. They lived the way. They lived a totally different lifestyle. And after a while, people are like, yeah, you know what? This whole worldly thing, this ain't working. And so what's going on with those people over there? And to Isaiah's point, which you're bringing up, when they look at us, is this what they see? We're not shaken. And they see this peace that surpasses understanding because we know we have a covenant with our Creator through Christ that cannot be removed. And so all of a sudden, the news of the day isn't rocking that particular group of people over there. They may be disappointed, but they still have a smile on their face. And wow, look at the way they serve one another and look at the way they serve other people even outside of their little club. And maybe that's a better way to go. And that is the way that it was then. It's the way it needs to be now. And that's the call of us in our lives here in the mess that we're in this country. And so we'll just continue to point people, David, to Christ and to the scriptures and to that truth rather than politics or even what we do with our money. But a great word and a great way to start. Thanks so much for that, as usual.
Well, you know, we just got shaken here with what the Senate did. We were talking about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, so the Senate approved a bill on Friday, and you know the House approved it hours later. They passed 219-209. But we talked about this. The Senate will Vice President Kamala Harris have to cast the breaking tie vote, and you know she did 51-50.
Yep.
The $1.9 trillion stimulus bill. It's some people say this is a shaking. This is the new. This is just the start of many more bills and more spending to come. I hope it's not like what we're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, the $10 trillion plus the $13 trillion, whatever it is, this enormous spending. Yeah. So that's what happened here recently.
And the odds are that it is. It's going to keep going, and it's going to keep going higher. I was reading several articles over the weekend and today, getting ready for our conversation today. And there's no breaks in sight. There's no stopping in sight. They're just talking about spending more and more and more, and it's a moral obligation. And we'll deal with the debt later, which, of course, they've been saying for decades now, and it just keeps getting worse. So what about the stimulus? Because the stimulus talk, I mean, the markets are not stupid. They're emotional, but they're not stupid. So when they know the government, even as far debt as it is, and when they're sending out $1,400 checks to people, they know that 40 to 50% of that is borrowed money, but they know that money's going to go back into the market. So is that why the market responds favorably to the stimulus steps, helps the market go higher?
Yeah, global stocks got off to a record-breaking start, hitting all-time highs in all the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500. Janet Yellen pushed for massive stimulus. She was on the campaign trail. She was on CNN and a few other television stations banging the stimulus drum. And she even said that we're not going to have a recovery unless we go big on this. And we still might not have a recovery till 2025, she said. But we need to really go big. Because she's afraid of the job market stalling, is what she said. So she's also the same one that predicted in 2017 that there'll be no financial crisis in her lifetime. And here we're on the possible another a downturn because we're not adding enough jobs, and still there's 11 million people or thereabouts out of jobs. So it's another economist said we're in the double dip danger recession environment right now.
Yeah.
Because this is all disappointing. So yeah, it is affecting the market stimulus in a positive way. And but just be careful. There's a lot of people saying, like Stanley Druckenmiller, Jerry Grantham, Chief Investment Officer Eric Peters, are all saying it's the wildest market they've ever seen. It's epic bubble of full fledged epic bubble. Valuations are crazy, and the Fed is extending this market beyond the norm. So be careful.
Yeah, be careful. And market today up 237 points. I saw this, and then I was reading a story about it this morning, and then boom, it's on your list of what we're talking about today. Tesla bought Bitcoin. They bought a lot of Bitcoin, and then you've got Elon Musk. All the guy has to do is tweet something about Bitcoin, and they buy it, and then Bitcoin surges up beyond 40,000. And just wild. So give us the news on that. And then, of course, is Bitcoin going to replace the dollar? And because there's obviously a trend there that's like, if you don't start getting into Bitcoin, somehow you're an idiot. But help us to understand what's going on here.
So 2 weeks ago, Elon Musk put a hashtag Bitcoin on his Twitter bio, which pushed up the price of Bitcoin as much as 20%. Other cryptocurrencies were affected. He also said at that point that he says, I think Bitcoin is a good thing, and I support Bitcoin. So by him just doing that, yeah, caused it to go up. But Monday, today, came out in the SEC filing that they already bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin, and that drove Bitcoin up even higher, up 16.5% today, so 44,000, wow. Which it went to 44,000 before, and then it went down to like 38. So, I mean, it's a very volatile investment. But he's saying that they're going to eventually sell cars and take payment in Bitcoin, so they had have cash reserves in Bitcoin, 7.5%, which is not a lot of money in Bitcoin, $1.5 billion, which is a lot of money in Bitcoin, but it's still 7.5% is a big chunk of money in one asset class when you're talking about cash. Will it replace the dollar? No, because the Fed is coming out with the cryptocurrencies. It's coming out this year. There's a big movement away from the dollars. You remember me saying this in November, 15 Asian countries comprising 30% of the global GDP announced a comprehensive agreement that kept the United States out of this, largest trade agreement in the world. And then so Europe came out the other day, 27 European bloc countries released a communication report explicitly stating that they're going to strengthen the euro. This document outlines actions to help the EU and move away from the current dollar system. So there's a big movement away from the dollar. There's a big, in fact, the SWIFT money, which is the Society Worldwide International Bank, which is how dollars are sent globally, it's down significantly of dollar transactions. So the pendulum is swinging. This is out of an article from a guy who works with Jeffrey Gundlach from Double Line Capital, the second largest hedge fund in the world. His name is Bill Campbell. He came on and talked about it to the regular on CNBC. He said this, the change is coming. We should be ready for the change as it comes. So Bitcoin won't replace the dollar. The dollar is going to go through a change. And if you're a person that follows scripture, and I used to be a pastor, but I wasn't a specialist, if you want to use that word, in end times prophetic prophecies, but there's a lot of scriptures that allude that the United States is no longer a powerhouse,
not a player,
in end times.
Yep.
And the dollar, to get there, is going to probably go by the wayside. So there's a changes in the wind. And this is why you get some gold and silver, get out of the system, and protect yourself, hedge yourself. Because it's not if anymore, it is happening. That's what we're going to.
Yeah, just remarkable. And I think that's one of the things that everybody's struggling with. We talk about eschatology, we end up with 10 kingdoms, there's a one world currency, you get the rise of the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness, and we read about it, and you want to sell out a conference, start talking about Revelation and Bible prophecy and stuff. We just never really thought we'd have to deal with it much, personally. And then things have changed so rapidly in the last 12 or 14 months, and we have to be careful not to turn Bible prophecy into an idol itself, but things are happening and change is coming. The train is on the tracks and it's heading for us. And so we have to be good stewards of what we do. In the meantime, if people want to get more information, David, what do they do?
How about the old-fashioned way? 844-879-8882. Call 844. Oh, it sounds like an infomercial. Just call us at 844-879-8882. We can interact, have a conversation. We'll send you out a packet. Or you can go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. David, thanks so much again. We always appreciate your expertise and your time with us on the air. We'll talk to you again next Monday. Thanks, pal.
Likewise, my brother.
Bye. All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And tomorrow, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern time, the impeachment starts. I won't be surprised if very few people watch it, but it is important. I'll be watching it, and we'll talk about that and other things. God willing, tomorrow, this is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.